Welcome to a bonus episode of Bungalower and the Bus. I'm Brendan O'Connor from Bungalower.com, your source for hyperlocal news. And we're doing a fun little interview with my new friend, Griffin Binkowski. Yeah. He's an educator here at the Orange County Regional History Center.
Hello.
How you doing, Griffin?
I'm doing fabulous. I'm so excited.
All right, me too. And just in case we say anything wrong, in the background, we're going to have Scotty Campbell.
Hi, everyone.
Everyone knows that guy because he's been on a few times.
That's true.
But except this time, you're keeping your personal opinions to yourself. Is that
right,
Scotty?
That's correct. Today I'm representing Orange County Regional History Center as the Chief Marketing and Communications Officer.
Okay, well, now you're bragging.
So the opinions I express today will be the opinions of my employer.
Okay, well, great. That's the last thing you need to say. Just stay quiet in the back because I want to hear what Griffin has to say. Griffin, there's an interesting event coming up. It's like a lunch and learn.
Yes.
Is that right? In May?
Yes.
Okay.
It is celebrating celebration, history, and perspectives.
I love it.
Yes.
What does that mean? So like celebration, the planned community?
Yes. Celebration, the planned community of Central Florida, initially created by Disney, and it is called History and Perspectives because I was actually born and raised in Celebration.
Get out. So you have an insider's perspective.
Yes. My parents were one of the very first people to purchase a plot of land. So I was one of the very first kids to grow up in Celebration.
I have so many questions.
Yes.
Were your parents like just big fans of urbanism? You know, new. I guess it's a new urbanism conclave because it's designed with the principles of old school cities in mind, right?
Yes, it is designed to be after small town America. This idea of putting the family at the center of the community and making sure people were able to walk everywhere. But my parents were interested in moving there because my dad was part of SeaWorld at the time, and he did a lot of work in the theme parks, and my mom was an interior designer, so it kind of culminated to like the perfect place to move to, and they, you know, they were about to start a family, so they were like, yeah, let's do it.
I love it. And it's so, can we get in, let's get into the nitty gritty. So I know a planned community, why would Disney do that? Why would Disney build a neighborhood?
So Disney first started, it was actually Walt Disney's idea. It was one of the last things he was...
I like that you needed to say Walt, just in case we got it confused with any of the descendants.
Yes, because it was not, it was his idea. It was really his passion project, the one of the final things he did.
He was a placemaker.
Yes, and he wanted to have this place more for to showcase technology, to showcase innovation. The original idea for a planned community was more of this place of showcasing, you know, technology and innovation and how can we start from the ground up and build something. And Celebration was, after Walt died, kind of a runoff of that.
So they took like this nugget from Epcot, which means, I always forget, and I even worked there forever, exemplary planned community of tomorrow.
I don't think that's right at all.
It is.
Well, that's, we have a professional.
I've been researching this all day.
Oh, no. We can get someone.
Experimental planned community of tomorrow.
There we go. Exemplary. Yes. Experimental.
There
very
should be
close.
A game once you drink around the world, if you can actually. If you can remember. If you can say it.
You have to take a drink for everyone that you mess up. Okay. Yeah. And so they, but I don't, when I go through Epcot, I don't see it as a planned community.
Correct. So
except for the ball ride.
Yeah. The ball ride. Yeah. So they kind of, took the idea of Epcot and split it into two things. When the Epcot, the theme park, was being developed, they took this idea of showcasing innovation and they put that in the Future World section.
Right.
But after that, you know, there was still some talk of, well, how are we going to fulfill Walt's idea of this community? And because there's a lot of problems associated in making a planned community where nobody gets to vote.
You don't say.
Yeah. And, you know, a company.
Because there's no mayor.
Yeah. Company owned town that he didn't want people to vote because he had an idea of how to do things.
But the people who were working there or people who were living there, like your dad, you know, not necessarily employees of Disney.
No. Celebration is a completely different thing.
Right.
It's a planned community that Eisner was very involved in doing. And it was more of this idea of, okay, we'll take that inspiration, but we'll make it family focused. We'll make it applicable to the average person.
Right.
And it was very much going off of the idea of new urbanism at the time, uh-huh. which was focused on social change through how the community was developed.
Jane Jacobs she's a big proponent of that, and one of my favorite people. I just wanted to say Jane Jacobs out loud for my girl. And also it's sellable. You know, people loved Disney so much when you came out. If you could market the mm-hmm. Disney way of life, you know, Abercrombie & Fitch lifestyle brand, Disney lifestyle brand.
Absolutely.
Like, if there was an Abercrombie & Fitch suburb, I'd probably want to live there. You know, maybe not. It'd probably be too smelly for you, Scotty. You don't like cologne.
I don't think I'd fit into the Abercrombie.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. To be honest, we'd have to live in the burbs of it. But the idea of packaging that mm-hmm. so that you can live with it every day.
Yes. In the original pamphlets, it's even talking about, what if we went back to this time of peaceful small town tranquility? That's actually in the original packets.
Yeah.
Where people know their neighbors and, oh, we're having potlucks every weekend. So it's celebration is really a idea of small town America. It's not the realities of small town America. It's like a hyper real version.
Yeah. Well, what was that like? So you grew up in it.
Yes.
You know, the hyper real Pleasantville idea yes. of it. And like, I even know at a time they couldn't have brands. Like, you wouldn't see Coca-Cola signs everywhere.
Yeah.
They were very limiting of like billboards and advertisement. It was keeping it pure.
Yes, it was. Growing up was a great experience. I mean, I acknowledge that I'm very privileged to have grown up in such a beautiful place, but it was.
Because it's like Disney execs, like, not just anyone can afford to live there.
Correct.
It's a cutoff point.
My parents, well, when you first bought it, you actually had to enter a raffle to win a plot.
Wow.
Yes, you had to input your name and then.
And pay,
yes. Uh-huh. But, but yeah, it was, you know, it is a more expensive place to live now, but the actually original idea was going back to this new urbanism idea of social change through planning was, we're going to have condos, but we're also going to have cottages, but we're also going to have mansions. So in that idea, there would be varied incomes.
Yeah, it's called an urban transect, right?
Yes.
And you go from like from single story to more intense dwellings.
And you'll see when you drive through Celebration, there'll be a condo complex right across the street from a mansion. And that was supposed to kind of, you know, pare down this inequality of wealth. But now it's, you know, it's of course attached to Disney. It's a beautiful place to live, so.
But it's no longer Disney owned.
It is no longer Disney owned. The downtown is no longer Disney owned. Originally, the downtown area was Disney owned and operated, and the community was Disney owned and operated. But they made a deal with Osceola County that if a certain percentage of homes were occupied, then they would relinquish the town. Or after, I believe it was 5 years. Don't quote me on that, but a certain number of years.
You're being quoted right now.
but the plan was always to relinquish it back to Osceola County. It was never to be permanently owned. It was to be developed and then relinquished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting too, because right? Because they were improving maybe that was the recipe.
Yeah, it was part of this like 90s era of mass expansion of the Disney company, because they had all this land and they were finding all this
urban flight. People were leaving big cities trying to live that suburb life.
Yes.
Right? Cul-de-sac kids. Yeah. Were you a cul-de-sac kid?
Oh, yes.
You kind of were, right?
Oh, my house was right in front of a park, and I could walk to school every day, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And
everybody was on drugs.
Oh. If happiness was a drug, then sure.
Then sure. Do you think there's like a recipe? Is there something there from the Celebration planning that could be reproduced today, or do you think it is still happening, like, of having like a corner store? They had a recipe for building a business.
I will say,
or building a neighborhood.
There's no recipe for a perfect town, and even Celebration isn't a perfect town. There's been stuff in the news. You know, we've had things like criminal break-ins. We've had, you know, murders in our town. We've had
murders.
Oh yes, that's another podcast. but yeah, we have rowdy teenagers who go and terrorize the village
because there's no activities for youth. Right?
Well, there is, you know, but teenagers will be teenagers. Uh-huh. Are they going to go to the pool, or are they going to prank their neighbors? You know,
prank their neighbors.
So Celebration's a town like any other town. It's just, I think, a little bit prettier. You know,
all right.
People still have beef. People still, you know, there's drama. It's just.
Is there a drama nugget you want to drop, like for a historical occasion of something in Celebration that you'll be discussing at the Lunch and Learn?
I have a fun fact that's probably one of my favorite.
You don't have to
facts.
Give the whole thing, but you can spill a little bit.
So there is a splash pad. Where kids can, you know, run around and have a good time downtown Celebration.
Love it.
Yes, spent many, many days there as
College
a,
Park
as a young
wants
child.
One so bad, but they're afraid of homeless people.
And on the and within the splash pad, it has all these names of prominent people and places that have inspired Celebration or contributed to it. And for a long time, they had Walt Disney's name misspelled as Wald Disney, W-A-L-D Disney. And nobody noticed for like 10 years because who's spending time in the splash pad?
Kids.
And they're not reading, you know, so.
Did they fix it?
They fixed it, but it was a little fun news story when it came out, you know.
As the queen of misspellings myself, you know, I can feel the pain of the person who messed that up. That's a little embarrassing.
Yeah, so that's a fun little nugget.
Well, you have to wonder, too, like, not only misspelled, but how many eyes were on it and nobody caught it as they're constructing this thing.
Yeah. So.
Well, maybe English wasn't their first language when they were building it.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to dive into
that. I
feel
like that's a name, Walt Disney. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
it's a weird thing to happen.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Your parents are still in Celebration?
Yes, they are still in Celebration. Have been living there almost 30 years.
Okay. Yeah. Loving it?
They're loving it.
They know everybody.
They know everybody because they were founding members. So,
is there some social status that comes from that when you're like an OG original occupant?
I would say, sure, yeah.
Yeah. You almost know, like old money.
They get the privilege of saying, well, I remember how it was like here, you know, so that's some.
There's the Columbia restaurant is there. Right? It's the second one, right? The first one's in Tampa.
I just learned that. Wasn't the second one in existence.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to say the second one in Orlando because I just learned that there was one on Lake Eola.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Lee's Lakeside. Now it's World of Beer. So that's how things have progressed in Orlando.
Progressed in quotation marks.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're loving it. And you're not living there.
Oh, I am actually.
You are? You're commuting downtown?
Yes, I. Okay, so.
That's a gnarly stretch of traffic every day.
I'm in college right now.
Okay.
Yeah, pursuing anthropology. So I am allowed to live at home as long as I'm in school. So I'm getting a graduate degree.
Yeah, you are.
So, yes, I live in the little, we call it the mother-in-law apartment, above the garage because my grandma was living there for a long time. But I still live with my parents on top of the garage and I do commute to work. But, you know, I just kind of blank out when I'm driving.
We're random question. If you don't know, just tell me you don't know. Mm-hmm. But were accessory dwelling units like that part of the original design?
Yes. So it was explicitly designed that garages would be in the back of the houses because another idea of new urbanism is that we want less reliance on cars. I say as I drive 45 minutes to work.
Well, that's the main issue that people today have with new urbanism is that these enclaves of these planned communities are generally outside of urban areas. So they are very car reliant. You know, Baldwin Park is a good example of new urbanism, except it's a infill project. They took over that old Navy base.
Yeah,
and then built it there, which is great. But you don't see that very often because it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, tangent.
No, that's totally fine because there is like commercial properties and business properties right outside of Celebration. But people, even though they live 10 minutes away and they could walk 20 minutes to work, they still drive. So, but yeah, the garages were put in the back. And on top of those garages, a lot of, you know, single, like, studio apartments were put.
Or, like, your granny, you know. Yep.
My grandma lived there for a long time.
And that idea of, like, aging in place is very interesting, mm-hmm. and that they were doing that in the 90s of, like, yes. you need places for people who, if they're sticking around and they don't need a house, where are they going to live? You can't, well, they don't have towers, right?
Yeah.
Because there's height limits.
Yeah, they've got condos, but it's not, you know, skyscraper condos.
Yeah, so. And they want to be close to their families. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. So anthropology.
Yeah.
This is another tangent. I'm assuming since you're going for that and you're doing a talk on this, is celebration and planned communities, new urbanism, is that factoring at all in your studies?
Well, no.
It's not?
I'm actually studying biological archaeology, which is, you know, a whole other thing.
What's that?
Why, it's skeletons of deceased individuals from many thousands of years ago. But I am taking...
Like prehistory?
Yeah, well, yes. Like, I'm working on ancient Maya right now. But I am taking a class with Dr. Michael Callahan about Disney and... It's anthropological design and how it factors into society and things like celebration and things like how the community was impacted. So in some ways, it does factor into my study. And
it's just a really interesting, you know, scholarly thing to look at. And you don't hear it that often.
Yes.
You know, the impact of idealism, of suburbanism.
Hyper-reality, simulacra, all of those fun terms.
I'm watching a show right now. It's Fallout on Amazon.
Mm.
Right, I think it's inspired by a video game, actually, but it's about these people living in Fallout shelters.
Yes,
coming out and rediscovering, but they were designed with this this, you know, ideal, perfect, you know, 50s vibe in the pods, and everybody has a place, and it's about meritocracy, and people have to just work hard, keep your head down, work hard, and you get rewarded in society, and then being confronted with that not being the real case in the real world.
Yeah, and something that you said that reminded me kind of the design of celebration, Walt Disney's original idea of Epcot, there would be different streets that represent different cultures and different, you know, parts of the world, and that,
like, more of a hodgepodge.
Yeah, and that design was kind of fragmented, and we have, of course, Epcot, that's all the World Showcase, but then also in Celebration we have many different styles of houses. So you'll see a farmhouse style right next to a Spanish Revival style, right next to, like, a Mediterranean style,
and which is crazy.
They'll be all in the same street. Yeah,
that's a bit, you would never see that now.
No, it's very stylized, and it's it doesn't, they don't look like Florida homes,
like Seaside, you know, see in the Panhandle, planned community, new urbanism design. They have a town center, you know, terminating vistas. You want any special civic use building, you're going to see it at the end of a street. It's always going to be framed by how they build the streets. And, you know, even the way that you approach the beach, you know, everything's designed like that. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, I'll say.
I just hit a roadblock.
Really smart for
a while. Did, and then I hit a roadblock.
Well, that, you know, it's funny because you see the original plan of Celebration. You see how.
Oh, I got it. Can I go back to it?
Of course. This is your show. You can do whatever you want.
Well, you're the guest. I don't want to cut you off. But Griffin, they most of these places will have a palette, you know, just like you would give kids a palette of colors, pre-approved colors before they do a painting, maybe in a group painting. They would give prospective home buyers a booklet of like five pre-approved architects. And then they have, you know, this is what these different window shutters that we would allow you to build your house with. And you that's generally what you would see, not this hodgepodge approach, which is a little bit more chaotic.
They did have like a color palette that you had to stick to.
Okay.
But it was per your house type. So if you're getting a cottage, you have to work within the cottage offerings.
Okay.
Yeah. And my mom, because she was an interior designer, she would actually go to the site very frequently and like check it out and be like, are you guys doing it the right way? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And from
but, and those change through the years. Oh, so yeah. Does it feel dated at all in Celebration?
It does not feel like dated,
trapped in the time.
I would say the structures of new urbanism are definitely falling away. There was a, you know, you see the original plan and you see can see the downtown, it spreads out to Main Village and spreads out to East Village and all these villages, but they they just added a new village about 3 years ago, I believe, called Island Village, and you have the main town, and then down this very long road through the woods, you have a separate thing.
Wow.
So it's kind of deconstructing, and they're building more retail areas, and they're getting more like chain restaurants and shops in the downtown area.
That's interesting that they wouldn't want to stick to some sort of... Yeah. Do you think that was bound to happen?
It's a little bit complicated because they are on like a swamp,
right?
They border it's a wetland. Swamp. Yeah, so it's more finding a place to build, and since it's expanding so much, it's yeah. But from what I've seen of the new development, it's lacking that that like diversity of like, oh, we're gonna have a house from this part of the world and this part of the world. They're more just there's now a like understood Celebration style of general, just like coastal.
You can kind of see it in like Nona too, like the way that they're building, like Nona, a planned community, planned, I would say in quotation marks, because it's mishmashy right now. It still looks like a UFO dropped it in a cow field, you know?
Yeah.
But those, cause it is like, you'll be driving through, I can't remember what they're called anymore, but just like it goes from very intense development and then all of a sudden cowfield, and then there's suburban, weird curving roads and cul-de-sacs, hotel, and then cowfield again.
Trees.
No trees. But that's not, they kept some of them. There's a template now for homes that go through code people faster, you know, like there's a cookie cutter pre-approved box that builders know they can just crank out. You don't see as much colloquial, you know, expressions of creativity with builders as much anymore.
Yes,
because it's expansive.
This is my opinion.
Let it out.
But yeah, a lot of the homes being designed for the newer parts of Celebration kind of follow that cookie cutter standard of what people think Celebration is. So it's kind of, it's a hyper real version of the hyper reality of Celebration.
Whoa.
Yeah. So if you visit the new
postmodern,
very, yeah.
Wow, it's like post Celebration modernism.
It's almost the inner part of Celebration is vintage now, and the newer parts are like going off of that idea of vintage Celebration.
That's interesting.
That could be a whole thesis. You know?
It could. You could compare that to like how old school like German towns built up, you know, and then as you built out towards the more modern peripheries of these towns, they look a little bit like those homes and things in the small, right in the center, but they're bigger. A little bit more elaborate, you know, the footprint is bigger always.
Yeah.
Just because there's more land and it's cheaper and they can do whatever they want. Griffin, I feel like I could talk about this all day. Are there other things that you're going to be bringing up at the Lunch and Learn? It's only an hour, right?
Yes, it is an hour. I'm going to try to pack it full of fun, exciting information.
Lots of photos.
Lots of photos of my childhood. You'll get to see a lot of Celebration in the early years.
Cool.
My mom takes a ton of pictures, so all good there.
Great.
We'll learn about the shift from Disney ownership to Lexan ownership of the downtown area. I'm also
which happened in the 2000s, right?
Yes, and about I believe 2008. And that's a whole story. And then
graffiti was lasted longer. I remember that being
And the schools, there was a problem with the schools. And just basically going from how did Epcot, Walt Disney's idea of Epcot, go from theme park to community to Celebration And how did Celebration end up where it is now?
So interesting. I used to serve at Epcot at the Canadian Steakhouse. That's how I got here. And I would serve sometimes the architects from Celebration. They would come in when I was studying city planning. So it was so fun to be able to like serve them chicken Caesar salads and then kind of pick their brains about what they were working on. And now I get to hear from you, a product of that planned community.
A true Celebration baby.
Yeah, and you're still there.
I feel like you should create a bingo card for Bungalow and the Bus, and that's one of the things that you...
When I say if I worked, I worked at Epcot. You have to take a drink.
Should we give the info, the 411?
Do it.
Sure. So it's going to be on Friday, May 3rd, and it's noon to 1. Now, you can either attend in person, which is more fun, but we also, thanks to our friends at Orange TV, we record it and we live stream it, so you can watch it from home as well. But you do need to register. You go on our website, which is thehistorycenter.org/events. Just be sure to put the there, because otherwise you're going to wind up in Iowa. True story.
Awkward.
But yeah, all the pricing
information
is there.
What are they talking about? Potatoes?
There. What's that? The history of potatoes. If you're a member of the History Center, and we hope that everyone will consider this, but you get to see these for free. It's one of the benefits.
I love it. And you can brown bag it too, you're a member.
You can bring your own lunch, or we can arrange for lunch for you.
Yeah, you want to get out of the office. You work in downtown. You need an excuse to get out of the office. Come down to History Center on the 3rd. It's right before the Cinco weekend
and
the
learn
Derby.
You something.
Yeah, get learned. Griffin, thank you so much for spilling a little bit of your brain today with me.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to have you on again. We'll talk about more things.
Oh, wonderful. I'd love to.
Perfect.